Good morning, everyone. It's again sunny, so I bring you the South African weather. And welcome here to Lester and Louise. It's nice to have you here. As you can see there, it says how to obtain a breakthrough, whether it's physical or spiritual. Would you like to know that? Anyone here that would like to know that? Well, when we study the Bible, one realizes there are powerful ways to overcome physical and spiritual challenges. So what is the antidote for fear to overcome these challenges? What is the antidote? The Bible is clear that when we are in a serious need for protection or deliverance, the very best way is to humble ourselves before God. To do what? To humble ourselves before God. It's not enough, and I can tell you right now, it's not enough to say, deliver me from the evil one. There's more deeper things in this life that we have to be concerned and aware about. We can actually, when we humble ourselves, go much deeper and understand it more if we study the Word of God. Life is hard as it is. There are many things that cause us fear. So, with my life, I am studying the Scripture to find out, God, what do you want me to learn from this? And I'm going to change this, and I hope that it's working. Going the other way. Let's go to Exodus 4:24. Just to bring you in a little bit off the thing. The Lord met Moses and he wanted to kill him. Why would Jesus now try to kill Moses? Because he refused to go and speak to Pharaoh as the Lord requested him to do. Long before Jesus talked to him and said, I'm gonna send you your brother. He will do it. Now Moses later on, the same Moses that is now on the killing fields, you can imagine you're standing before Jesus and he's gonna kill you. Picture that. The same Moses goes up the mountain and he stays there for 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. Let's go to the next one. It was by faith. Now we read this. Look at this. This was, first of all, in Exodus. I page through and I go and I pick it up again in Hebrews, which is nearly the end of the Bible. It is by faith that Moses kept the first Passover and sprinkled the blood of the lambs on Israel's door frames. That same Moses is now coming to rescue other people. What a breakthrough. From nearly physical death to a spiritual breakthrough. Later on, we find the same Moses on the Mount of Olives in the day of Configuration with Elijah and three apostles. That same Moses, Jesus wanted to kill him. Now he is with Jesus. On that special day, just two people in this world. What a change from that physical to that spiritual breakthrough. I have a lot of questions for Moses to ask when I get to him. Yes. Let's go for another one. We know the story about Jonah. I don't want to go too much to Jonah in the background. Jonah was sent to inform Nineveh that God is going to destroy them in 40 days. Now I can ask, and thank you for the worship team to put us in a frame of mind of worship. And if I ask Jerry, go and speak to the mayor or the person in charge of Vancouver and the lower mainland, you've got 40 days to go and repent. Jonah 3. Let's go there. Go back one. I have to wait a little bit for this guy, right? Jonah 3:6-10. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne and took off his robe, put on a sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Now you can imagine going to the mayor. Take off your clothes and go and sit in the ashes. If not, you're going to be destroyed. All of the lower mainland is gone. Then he made this announcement and sent it throughout the city of Nineveh. This is an order from the king and the nobles. Beautiful. No one is to eat or drink anything. In other words, fasting. This includes all people, all animals, the cattle and the sheep. Every person and animal must put on sackcloth. And then silently whisper. No, cry out loudly to God for help. Wouldn't that be nice if we can do that to the lower mainland? Cry out loud to the God for help. Turn from your wicked ways and your acts of violence. No one is to eat or drink anything. This includes all people, it says. Right? Let's go to the next one. Who knows? God may reconsider his plans and turn from his burning anger so that we don't die. God saw what they did. Why did God see it? Because they humbled themselves. They fasted. They sat on they put on sackcloth and put ash over them. That was the custom to do those days to show you humble. And God saw that Nineveh turned from their wicked ways. So God reconsidered his threat to destroy them, and he did not do it. Now, if you look where is Nineveh, look at the countries around it. Is there anyone here that would like to get on the plane and go to that area right now and go to tell those people to repent for you dead meat? Let's go to another one. Jehoshaphat, king of the Jews, was terrified by the news that a huge army is coming. There is a huge army coming to destroy Israel. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem. Why did they come to Jerusalem? Let's have a look in 2 Chronicles. Joseph had begged the Lord for guidance. What did he do? He begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin to sit back and relax. No. To fast. So people from all towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Wouldn't that be nice if all the people here in Lower Mainland can do just that? Judah's army was informed, take action. You have to take action. Look at the next one. If we continue, verse 17, take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Verse 18, the king Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. Thank you, Mayor of Vancouver, for bowing down low with your face on the ground and humble ourselves with fasting and prayer before the Almighty God. And all people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. I get cold shivers just thinking about it. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand. To stand firm, not just stand. Verse 23. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their own allies from Mount Seir, and killed each other, every one of them. Not a single one of the enemy escaped. Not a single one of the enemy escaped. That's when God says, you have humbled yourself, you have fasted, and you came to seek help. Yes, the enemy was eliminated by themselves because of the power of God. A physical breakthrough. That's a physical breakthrough. Here's another very descriptive, and thank you for that time. I learned so much from Jerry when he said, the Bible is descriptive. Describe it. Here's an example. Two people who really needed protection against the death and must take intense action. Here's the story. Mordecai was a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin and was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Mordecai had a cousin, a young girl. She was an orphan, so Mordecai took care of her. He adopted her. We read that story, and I'd like you to go and read Esther 1 to the last, especially when you hear what I'm going to say today. Esther was a very pretty girl. Esther was an exceptional pretty girl. Perfect shape and body. She was chosen to be one of the 100 concubines. These concubines could not approach the king until they lived in the king's palace for 12 months. Otherwise, they'll be put to death. Here we find King Xerxes in the capital of Susa. Esther had the freedom to get visitors. And one day she was informed by Mordecai, a plot is there to kill all the Jews. And then I started to research. It says there in one translation, the Jews will be killed in 127 provinces, not just from Vancouver Island to Labrador, but further out, all the Jews will be killed. A man named Haman, a high-ranking officer who hated the Jews and Mordecai, promised to pay lots of money. And then I researched, watched the figure there, and it says 350 tons of silver I will give to the government if he allows all the Jews to be killed. Wow. Change that into Christians. If all the Christians will be killed. There's one person that wants to kill all Christians, and he's paying so much money to the government. Mordecai heard about this. So he asked, he sent a message to Esther in the king's palace to go to the king's presence, which is against the law, for to beg him to plead with the king to save her and the Jews. Esther was told during this time that if anyone approaches the king, regardless of who you are, will be put to death unless the king holds up that scepter and say, you may come in. Now, has things changed? There's no way that I can go into Parliament building with my little rucksack and I say, I'm going to see the president or the prime minister today. Bullets will fly after me. It still applies today. You can't just go in there. Mordecai, Esther's uncle, was a man of faith. He believed that God will deliver his people regardless of whatever was going to do, because God promised in the Old Testament that he will preserve the nation of Israel. Mordecai had faith that God would intervene in a different way than he expected. Now, when we think that God should intervene in our lives in one way and it doesn't happen, what do? We must not give up. God works in many different ways to fulfill his purpose. Haman was the man that hated the Jews. He built a hanging structure. Yes, he built this structure. And he says, this is how I'm going to kill Mordecai first. Now, this is serious stuff. The first Christian here is going to be hanged. The whole Jewish nation will be killed. This was still during the concubines' time when they were not allowed to go and speak to the king. Esther could not go to the king yet. But Esther was so pretty in the face and in shape that when the king saw her, he announced her that she will be the next king. This Esther will be the next king. And Mordecai heard about Esther that will be made king, but Mordecai warned Esther, if you don't take action now, Esther, listen to this, if you don't take action now, God will use somebody else. Now, when I read that, it sort of stuck out and it jumped out of the scripture. If you don't take action now, God will use somebody else in a different way. God never limits himself to just one person. Because Jesus said, if you don't do it, I will get these stones to worship me. God can do anything. So if we look at this, Mordecai sent another message to Esther. Let's go there to Esther 4:12-14. Esther, don't think that just because you live in the king's palace, you will be the only Jew to escape. If you keep quiet now, Esther, if you keep quiet now, help and freedom from the Jews will come from another place. And I stop there. If you keep quiet now, help and freedom for the Jews will come from another place. But you and your father's family will all die. And who knows? Now, if you forget anything that what I'm saying today, please remember this little verse, the last one of 14. And who knows? Maybe you have been chosen to be the queen for such a time as this. I stopped there for a moment because it hit me. Maybe we have been chosen to be in Christ's church right now for a time like this. And if we don't speak up now, we're all gonna die. That's what I got out of this studying the Esther book. There is an undercurrent that is coming up and that is boiling. Mordecai is really saying to Esther, God has made you pretty with a nice figure in order to use you in a time such as this. God placed you in a strategic position, everyone. God placed us in a strategic position. And we must not forget who we are and where we are. God foreknew beforehand that this would happen, and God will even use the beauty of a woman to deliver his people. Esther finally realized the seriousness of the situation. She is online for the Jewish people. Now it hit her. I thought I was safe here in the palace. And all of a sudden this came to her. Esther was in great distress. And she can be killed together with all her family and all the Jews. So Mordecai said one thing. Take action. Take action and ask the Jews in the country in Susa to fast. To do what? To go and sit and wait for God to do it. No, to go and fast and humble yourselves. Let's go to number 16. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I may attend will fast as you do. My attendants. She had attendants attending to her. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. It's what? I will go and see the prime minister, even though it's against the law. If I die, look at that. If I die, I die. That sort of sparked a lot of things in my mind. As a Christian, in the place where we are at the moment, the responsibilities that we have at the moment, maybe God has put us in this strategic position. We can't sit back. We must have our own Mordecai, the church, to inspire us. Because that's what God is expecting us to do. This is very serious for our lives today. The Bible is adamant for us to take action, and situations will change by prayer and fasting and humbling ourselves before the sovereign and holy God. Especially if we do this for someone else. Not for yourself, for someone else. Or as a congregation for a common cause. We can remove that victim mentality. We will change from being loaded with fear into victory and become strong in our faith. Let's go back to Mordecai. A few days later, the greater power because of humbling God stepped in. The Lord Himself stepped in for His people because they humbled themselves. What happened? That king said, let's have a look. Esther thought her life was safe, but not for the rest of the Jews. This king still wants to go and eliminate the rest of the Jews. Esther had to take action. The king has accepted her, but there's still all the Jews out there that's going to be killed. Let's go to Esther 8. Esther 8, 7. Or 7, 17. So Haman was hanged on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai. That's how God stepped in. Then the king's anger cooled down. That same king is still ready to go and eliminate all the Jews. And if we go to 8:7, as Mordecai getting hanged, Esther went to the king and said, please write a letter. I want you to write a letter. Wherever the king's command went in every province and every city, there was joy and gladness amongst the Jews. Can you read that? There was joy and gladness amongst the Jews. They were having parties and celebrating. Here's the second verse that I want you to take home. Put it in your mind. The first one was, Esther, don't think that you are in the palace, you are safe. You have a responsibility. Here's the second one. Many of the common people from other groups became Jews. How? In today's world, people are getting baptized because we share with them the love of God. That's part of our fellowship now. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus said the angels in heaven, the angels in heaven shout with joy if one person comes to repentance. It is clear that when we fast and pray, we go to a greater power and turns an enemy into a friend. God has the ability and the power to rearrange every situation. He places people in strategic positions like you and me for a certain reason with a certain responsibility. We are safe for eternal salvation, but we still have a responsibility. God can use circumstances and events of what we are planning to do. And for those that are doing the small group Bible studies, that's exactly what we are learning. And we are so excited in our group to do that. Are we perhaps being placed in this situation? Or do we think that we are safe in the church? Can you imagine the impact if every Canadian can fast and pray for 3 days and three nights? Every Canadian, Vancouver Island to Labrador, Canada, how beautiful will you be? If we want to change our fear, we have to change our thinking by looking up to the Lord and not to the circumstances around us that's causing the fear, as we've learned in the scripture. We worship a powerful God in act of faith. Let's see what Acts 14:23 tells us. Here's Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in every church. With prayer and fasting, With what? Sitting back and relax? No. With prayer and fasting, they turn the elders over to the care of the Lord in whom they've put their trust. Humble yourself first. Prayer and fasting, and put your trust in God. We must pray and take action. If we do not have faith, how do we obtain it? How do you have a breakthrough on physical to spiritual? Humbling before the Almighty God. Prayer and fasting. It's still the same God of Old Testament and the New Testament. Satan is allergic to prayer and fasting. I'd like to repeat that. Satan is allergic to prayer and fasting because God is enthroned on the praises of his people. God is enthroned. There is Paul and Barnabas, and they going out being baptized humbly before God, fasting and prayer. And I always end my sermon. Now these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these three is love. And what is our slogan in this church? Love God, love others, love all.